kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I made it another couple of days.
I kind of did.
Yeah? I mean, you're currently breathing.
Yeah, which is so a good thing.
We call it a victory, and then we carry on till tomorrow.
It's the little victories in life.
You know what? At this point, it's all little victories, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I found a local greenhouse that was selling plants for a quarter a piece.
What kind of plants?
Like tomatoes and cucumbers and things like that. Like, I got a little greenhouse so I could start my own, and I did plant some from seed, but I'm behind the curve because this year we have a really early final frost, and none of my shit's ready to go. But this chick, she had like, oh, these are super tall sprouts, and they're all like legit little plants. And she's like, yeah, it's four for a dollar. And I'm like, put on your mask and go give this lady some money. And so that's what my husband did. And he was like, he was like messaging her. He's like, my wife's immunocompromised. I have to make sure I stay away from you. Is there a place where we can do this at a distance? She's like, yeah, it's fine. And so like they worked it out, and he went and just loaded me the fuck up on cheap plants. And I'm so stupid excited. Nice. It's such a little victory. And at the same time, I'm like, and then like, of course it's stupid cold because it was full spring. And it seemed like it was going to be warm. We had like a bunch of days where it even got up into the 90s. And now like tonight is like, we have a freeze warning.
Yeah, it fucking snowed this morning for us.
And I was like, this is bullshit. Thank goodness I have the greenhouse. Because I just put them in the greenhouse and closed the door.
Yeah.
I was like, if I didn't have that and I had already planted all those, I would have just wasted $40.
Jeez.
And at a quarter of plant, $40 is a
lot. That's a lot of fucking plants.
I might have gone a little overboard. No, because I watched a video and he was like, okay, so to produce enough tomatoes for one person, you need five plants for a year's worth of tomatoes. And that's what the dude sounded like. 100% in my head anyway. And I was like, okay, but then I have like five people. And then I was like doing the math on it. And I was like, but also I'm the only one that eats tomatoes. But I went ahead and did five people's worth anyway, because I really fucking love tomatoes.
Well, at least you'll be set.
Well, I'm going to try to like canned spaghetti sauce and stuff. I've canned things in the past, but I haven't tried anything like spaghetti sauce and stuff. I wanted to, but I figure when's the best time to learn than the apocalypse?
True. Plus, who knows? Maybe you'll have more time if this show dies with me in the next couple of weeks.
There is no death.
I am sick. There's
no
death.
No.
I don't know if it's it. I don't think it is. I don't have a fever, so that's good.
That's a good sign.
I do have a cough.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of always have a cough because I smoke pot now.
Yeah.
Which is different from the beginning of the show. How life has changed over the past 7 years.
You know, it happens like that.
And then again, how life has changed over the past 7 days.
You know what? A lot of people keep asking me, like, when are we going to go back to normal? And never. I'm like, never. There is no surreal anymore. The surreal is the real.
Yeah.
And it's very, I'm not comfortable with it. And it kind of, it bothers me.
I miss sports.
Yeah. I think I just miss the knowledge that things could, I don't miss people. People can fuck off. I was two steps above a hermit anyway. True. So, I mean, I might as well have been agoraphobic at that point. But,
look at you dropping big words.
Yeah. But I miss the existence of the world. Does that make sense? Like, even if I didn't actually participate in a lot of it, I just miss knowing it's there.
Yeah.
And it's a little, it's a little weird to work through, especially like I saw an unusual post earlier because all of our parks, our state parks, which my family spends a lot of time. I know that sounds funny given that I'm broken as fuck, but we spend a lot of time at state parks, and we have like 7 of them within an hour's drive of us. They're just fucking everywhere because we live in the woods.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time. I don't get to go hiking anymore, but we used to take the kids hiking. We go fishing a lot. We camp a lot. We go boating. We can't do those things. And they've converted the state parks into quarantined housing for first responders. And there was a post earlier, and I say things that, like, Kentucky has not been hit near as hard as anybody else.
No.
Today was the first time we've had 200 new cases in 24 hours. So, I mean, we have a very low, slow growth going. But just knowing that these changes have been made and seeing them playing out, like, over the news and on television, on social media, it's very disconcerting. You're just like, I'm discombobulated by it all, you know? But earlier there was a post where normally one of our local parks would be having an Easter egg hunt this weekend, and they'd have the Easter bunny there, and like kids would go and get their picture taken and hunt eggs. But the post was like, due to the coronavirus, the Easter bunny is going to be standing by the sign waving, and you're supposed to just drive by with your kid. Don't put your windows down. Don't stop. Don't get out of your vehicle. Just drive by and wave at the bunny. And I was like,
that kind of takes the fun out of it.
That's where we're at, though. You know, that's where we're at as a world right now.
Just
drive by and wave at the Easter bunny.
Yeah, I will give credit. Life is weird.
I will give credit to our governor, though, because he does the addresses every afternoon. And he was like, you know, for all the little kids watching, don't worry, the Easter Bunny is an essential worker. They are not limited by the travel bans. And in my heart, I could just imagine all the parents going, you fucker.
You son of a bitch. How dare you? This was our way out.
I am no longer Team Andy. I was just like, so many parents are probably so pissed right now. They're sitting there like Googling how to get Easter baskets delivered in 2 days.
Oh, geez. I don't even know how to start a show after this discussion. Like, the world is just so fucked up right now, and I don't know what to do. I'm paranoid that I'm sick because I'm under the weather right now. So, of course, my mind immediately goes to, this is it.
This isn't it. This is like, I don't know, you got allergies or some shit.
I don't know what I got, but we got the news. Ashley's sister has it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A developer that I recently chatted with a bit, his wife has it. I don't want to name names to protect privacy, but...
Yeah.
Our best goes out to them. So, it's spreading, it's getting around, and hopefully we get a handle on this situation soon, this shituation soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But video games.
The one thing that's only marginally affected by the virus.
Video games are still coming and going. I got my Final Fantasy VII Remake today, my deluxe edition. So Best Buy still shipping shit on time.
My sister got a Switch so she could play with the kids.
Nice.
Yeah, I was so shocked. She was like, she sent me a link and she's like, you have to answer me quickly because it's almost sold out. Will this work? And I was like, yes. So she got a coral pink Switch Lite.
Ooh, the pink one.
Yeah. And I was like, well, you have no idea how much you just lucked out right now.
Yeah.
Because they had like 3 left when she ordered hers. And, she got hers, and I told her, on payday, I'm going to get Animal Crossing for her and the girls.
Nice.
And then that way they can play it together. And so they're all very excited. she's like, I don't know how to use this thing. I was like, don't worry, I don't either.
It's not hard to figure out.
It's just I'm so used to Xbox at this point that touching anything else just sends me into a panic attack. I'm like, I don't know what to do. How do I button?
The biggest issue using anything Nintendo after using Xbox is the fact that the buttons are reversed.
It's reversed. That was driving me nuts when we were playing. Yeah, yeah, that was Ibnob.
Ibnob.
Yeah, Ibnob. There we go. I'm apparently dyslexic in my head as well. But yeah, that was messing me up so bad when I was playing it with number one. I was so ready to throw the controller. I was using the little Power A controller, so I at least felt like I was trying to play an Xbox, but the reverse controls were stressing me out.
Oh, try sending a message.
Mm-mm.
Oh my god, when you have to hit the Y button for a space, which okay, I hit the Y button for a space. Oh my god, that's the X button. What did I do? Where's the Y button? Oh, that's the Y button. That's supposed to be the X button.
No. God damn it. That's terrible.
It's funny when Ashley plays Animal Crossing for a while and then she'll switch back over to the Xbox and like try to exit Netflix and she's pushing the wrong button. She's like, god damn Nintendo.
That's it. Every time the kids are like, Animal Crossing, I'm like, but you can play My Time as Portia right now on the computer. I'll even give you mine if you just don't make me buy anything else from Switch.
Oh, Lord.
I will go sit on the couch. You can play on my computer.
My Time at Portia has nothing on Animal Crossing.
Maybe not, but man, I'm desperate.
Oh man, well we should probably get to news. There was some news this week, some new games joining Game Pass, which is always good. This week alone we got Journey to the Savage Planet and Alvastia Chronicles on console, and then coming soon on PC they're going to be getting Stranger Things 3, Football Manager 2020, and Mistover all on PC.
Mistover is already on there because I saw it earlier when I was installing Ori.
Well, then they're there. That's the problem. And Xbox, they never give dates for the PC ones. They just say coming soon.
Coming soon. Yeah. But Mistover was already there. Or at least it may have been like a pre-install. I didn't click it. I guess I could look right now. It's not like I don't have that shit open.
Lord knows if I tried, my computer would explode.
I could sit here and play. I was playing a game that we'll review later. But I was playing it, and I actually took a picture of it because I had the little counter. My Xbox app is being wonky today, so I guess I'm not going to tell you if it was pre-installed or not. But I had it up in the corner, and it was like I was playing it in 4K because I got a new monitor. I was playing it in 4K, and I was using 5% of my CPU.
Oh my god.
I was like, okay then. Yeah.
So OBS like, alone is using up 12% of my CPU.
I was at 5% usage and I had that game open, two monitors going. The other monitor had Chrome with about 5 tabs open and Discord was open as well.
Well, Discord's not huge.
Yeah.
I have
but
Discord
it was there.
Open.
But it was, look, you complain about, like, moving your mouse slowing you down. So I'm just saying, I had some programs open, and, yeah.
Oh, yeah, keep on bragging. Ooh, I could run things on my computer. Ooh.
I can run everything. And I got a shiny new monitor. Ah, everything looks good. I don't know. Tomorrow is my husband's birthday, and I just want to say happy birthday, even though I know he doesn't listen to me.
That's okay. No one does.
But tomorrow's his birthday, and the funny thing was he's like, I bought you a new monitor so that I could have yours for my birthday. I was like, but it has a dead pixel. He's like, don't care. I want yours. Great. And are you sure you don't want the new one since you know it's your birthday? He's like, nope, here you go.
That works.
All right. He's happy. I don't give a fuck. Got a new monitor.
Oh, man. All right. Let's see. What else? Yakuza Kiwami is coming to PC and console. No date on it yet, but it should be soon.
Soon.
I'm guessing probably the second half of the month if they're hyping it up now. But yeah, I guess we'll find out.
I'd say it's probably not far away.
Yeah. And then Game Pass is launching in Japan on the 14th.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we will see what happens there. New games are joining PlayStation Now as well. They have three games being added to the lineup. Marvel Spider-Man is there until July 7th, which gives people time to play that one. I hate how short the times are on PlayStation.
Yeah, like, what, 2 months?
Three months.
3 months.
I mean, that's enough time to play it, I'm sure, but still.
Not if you're like us and have like 1,100 games in a backlog, though.
Yeah, but most people aren't like us.
It's true. Carry on.
Just Cause 4 until October 6th. Okay. And then the Golf Club 2019.
Okay.
Just being added. So.
Okay.
So those are the three games joining PlayStation Now. It's like they had a really good month last month with like a dozen games being added. And then they're just back to status quo this month of three games. Which is a bummer. I wish they would add more and, you know, give the service some value.
Yeah.
But, hey, Spider-Man's there if you don't already own it.
Which wasn't the whole point was that it was, like, an incredible seller, so probably everybody has it.
Yeah, I have it.
I mean, like, five people probably don't.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to say it. I know there's people that would, like, well, if anybody listened to us, there'd be people who'd be, like, turning their nose up at me, but comic book and comic book universe games are kind of niche. They don't apply to everybody. So, I mean, most of the people who are going to have wanted probably plunked down the money for it because they're also a rabid fan base.
Well, given that Spider-Man has sold millions, I don't think it's that niche anymore.
I think it's niche in that it caters to a subset and there's probably more people that don't. I don't know. Even with millions sold, look how many millions of PlayStations there are, though. Like, they didn't. It's not a 1-to-1 ratio.
No. So, but nothing is.
No.
So but everything is niche.
I like to keep the idea in my head that comic books and comic book universes are small, tiny niches, okay?
No, they're
not.
And
I'm going to hold on to that until the day I fucking die.
Enjoy your delusions.
That's how I justify the fact that I can't get into superhero shit. I try. I just can't do it.
Oh, yeah. Arkham games, Walking Dead.
Nope. Didn't play them.
They're not niche games, though.
Walking Dead, I played, but not the Arkham games. Not bad. So I just said superhero.
Yeah. Superhero. Batman is superhero.
Yeah. But you said Arkham. Walking Dead. So Walking Dead's not superhero.
Well, Rupier said Walking
that's
Dead.
Not, oh. Yeah. I mean, that's a little different. And again, Walking Dead is a whole different niche in the comics. But, you know, it's more drama-based than superhero-based. It's the superhero stuff I don't get on board with.
Saints Row 4?
I didn't like Saints Row 4.
Really? Yeah, that was my favorite one.
I played 3, and I wouldn't say that like I particularly like Saints Row. I didn't dislike it, but I just wasn't into it either. Like, I played a lot of it. I played it with Suda, and I was just like, okay, but it's funny, but it wears itself out. But when they went full superhero stuff in 4, I was like, I'm not on board with this. Checked out. I'm done. Bye.
See, I loved when they went full superhero. I absolutely loved 4. I'm looking forward to 3 getting the remake. That's some confirmed news. Saints Row the Third Remastered was confirmed for a May 22nd release on Xbox One, PS4, and the Epic Games Store. Some bad news. It's going to retail for $40. I was expecting 30.
For what was it again?
Saints Row the Third Remastered.
Oh, yeah. That
I'm glad
is
you're paying
high.
Attention to the
I
news.
I was reading chat real quick.
There's two things in chat.
Look. I still haven't had my medication, and I'm barely functioning. Be happy, Joe! I'm holding a conversation, and it's not going well.
IGN also reports that the console versions are locked to 30 frames per second, even the X and the PS4 Pro, which I think is kind of bullshit. If the system can handle more, let it do more.
Why would they lock it?
Laziness.
Ugh. Nobody likes that.
I mean, visually, the game got a significant overhaul. A lot of people don't like that it's like Sunset Row remastered.
Oh, is it?
It's a perpetual state of sunset in the game now with like the bloom and just it looks different.
I'm looking for images because I haven't seen it. This is not helping. I don't see anything.
Proud of you.
Well, boy, I don't remember shit about Saints Row. I'm like, what is this shit? I think I had a dildo gun, and that's the extent of what I remember.
It wasn't a dildo gun. It was just running. A giant dildo bat.
Was it just
bat.
A dildo? And I was like running around with it. Suda was like, I hate you. And I was like, I know. That's why we're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about the extent of what I remember that. None of these look remastered. I can't. Okay. Carry on. I can't go down that click hole. I'll get lost for days. That's not safe.
Three EA titles were added to the Project xCloud preview, with Dragon Age Inquisition, Unravel 2, and The Sims 4 all playable now.
Oh, nice.
So now we got to get you in Project xCloud so you could play more of The Sims 4.
I am in Project xCloud.
Oh, well, then there you go.
But I've been waiting for the PC version of it. Mm. So that's what, because my phone is garbage pants. And so, also busted. I've dropped it like 927 times.
Proud of you.
So it's a waste to try to play anything on that. But I was like, oh, I'll go ahead and enter, you know, the beta, and maybe I'll get pulled when they go for PC. And they went ahead and pulled me anyway. And I was like, well, son of a bitch. So I'm just waiting for them to catch up with me.
Let's see. The Sony has unveiled the DualSense controller this week for the PS5. Some of the features of the controller are haptic feedback, which should be interesting. Adaptive triggers, which should be cool. I know we've discussed that in the past. Rechargeable battery, which, you know, has pros and cons. I prefer non-rechargeable batteries. I would rather just buy a battery pack instead of being locked to a battery inside a controller. Which is my gripe with the Elite 2. I wish it was just regular batteries.
Yeah. I frequently use the regular batteries that are rechargeable.
Yeah.
And then I just swap them out. I'll catch a kid walking by and be like, hey, bring me some new batteries. And they're like, okay. And then I'm like, go put these on charge while you're at it. And they're like, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. It's going to charge via USB-C, which is good. They're getting rid of USB Mini. A create button is replacing the share button. So it's going to, I guess, have more emphasis on creating clips and sharing clips. And I don't know. I still don't really care about the share button on a controller.
I do like to take a lot of screenshots and video clips that nobody watches.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's necessary for me to have a controller button for it. Like, I do fine just pressing the home button and pressing Y, you know?
Yeah.
Or pressing the home button and pressing X. So I don't overwhelmingly see the value in those buttons. I know plenty of people are psyched for it, and I'm just like, okay, well, it's there.
Yeah.
You know? I'll probably forget and still press the home button for like 6 months.
Probably. It's going to have a built-in microphone.
This, I think, is a bad idea.
I think it's an awful idea.
I don't.
You know, like, all those people who would play with their Kinect unmuted? That's what you're going to get here.
Fucking no.
Room noise. You're going to have this.
I don't like it. Please stop. This is not ASMR.
Yeah, you're going to get that from the controller rubbing against people's clothes. I have zero hopes for a built-in microphone on the controller. I think it's going to sound awful. I hope they prove me wrong, but I think it's going to sound like the Kinect did when the Xbox One first launched, and people would use that for game chat. You would hear the TV. You would hear other people in the room.
That was always my rule. I was like, I will chat with pretty much anybody as long as they have an actual mic. If you come at me with a Kinect, your ass is muted. I don't care how long I've known you. I don't care how much I like you. Shut the fuck up until you go get a $10 mic.
Yeah.
I have no interest in a built-in mic in the controller. And I see people are hyping it. Like, they're like, oh, wow, now you don't have to worry about where your mic's at. I'm like, oh, my God, yes, you do.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I have very low hopes for a built-in microphone on a controller. It will have a headphone jack as well, or a headset jack. They confirmed it'll have an audio jack. And then the light bar has been moved next to the touchpad, which I fucking hate the light bar.
What is the point of the light bar?
For VR stuff, pretty much.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't, like, it can't be used for ambient lighting to affect.
Yeah, it could be used for. It just, it's not really utilized that well. Does anybody actually
use it? I was about to say, does anybody even actually use it for that, though? Like,
not really.
Okay.
It'll be like, oh, your controller's blue because you're player one, and yours is red because you're player two. It's shit like that. 90% of the games that have the light bar don't use it in any kind of meaningful way. I mean, there are a couple of games out there that do use it that aren't VR, but it's few and far between, and I'm not impressed with any of the implementation. So the fact that they still have a stupid light bar, whatever, you know, I understand including it for VR usage, but whatever. It's just more shit to eat up battery. Because the camera can detect it.
Oh, okay. It
detects the light. Kind of okay. How... Oh, Rupier says it's handy for charging status. Yeah, it glows yellow when it's charging, and when it's done, it shuts off. But
okay, I have some like rechargeable battery packs on my controller that just have a little green light.
Yeah,
and that seems plenty sufficient.
Yeah, I don't really see the big deal of this DualSense. I think it looks ugly. The design that they have for it, I think it looks terrible. I said before, it looks like a DualShock trying to cosplay as an Xbox controller.
One of my favorite pictures on Twitter was where somebody had one of like the side angle pictures of the DualSense, isn't it called now? I'm going to call it DualShock forever. Get fucked.
Yeah, it's DualSense.
The DualSense, and it was like they held up an Xbox Lunar Wat controller in the exact same profile, and it was very similar.
Yeah.
And it's like, y'all tried, but still fucked it up.
They still fucked it up because the analog sticks are not moved. They still have the stupid symmetrical analog sticks, which I hate about the PlayStation controller. Yeah. I've hated the symmetrical analog stick placement since the PlayStation 1, and they still have it.
You know what I find incredibly interesting is how Xbox has really pushed to try to make the controllers more accessible. I was watching a video where they were talking about how they had purposely tapered the top of it in to make it more suitable for smaller hands, which is funny on my side. But... where they had tapered it to make it more suitable for smaller hands. And they actually found that if you made the controller to where it was suitable for an 8-year-old's hands, it still didn't affect players with larger hands from being able to play comfortably.
Hmm.
And so they went ahead and did the taper in, and they made it a slightly smaller, lighter controller. Meanwhile, PlayStation's over here like, this shit looks like it come out of Tron. Don't you like it? And the symmetrical analog sticks are not comfortable for people with certain hand disabilities. If I had to sit and hold that, like even just trying to sit here and emulate it in my hand right now without a controller, my left hand, my wrist all the way up to my thumb is getting fatigued just from that position. It's not something that I find natural or comfortable at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're so insistent on it. I can't be the only person in the world. I was gonna say, I can't be the only person in the world. Like, I know my fingers are crooked and shit, but I can't imagine there's other people who are like, yeah, this is fine, this feels great. I don't know what the attachment to that is.
I don't know. I have always hated the symmetrical analog sticks, and I'm going to continue to hate the symmetrical analog sticks with the PS5 because Sony are dipshits and they keep doing it with the symmetrical sticks, and it's uncomfortable. It is, ooh, but it looks pretty. Fuck
it's
off.
It's interesting that they are the lone holdouts in that, though. Like, even Nintendo Joy-Cons mm-hmm. are asymmetrical. Another thing that I noticed on the DualSense, that may just be because it's a prototype, but like, there was no coloring on the face buttons. They all blend in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, there are people with vision impairments that having that coloring there makes the buttons stand out and become pronounced enough
yeah.
that they can see them. Whereas you might not be able to, if they go with the all black.
I mean, the Elite controller's the same way, where everything is just black and gray. But
yeah, well,
that's a specialized controller that you kind of know what you're getting into.
Yep, and even then, I mean, there is a little bit of difference, but it's very minor. But there are different ones too that you can get that do not have the all gray.
Rupier says they like the symmetrical sticks like the Wii U Pro controller where they were both at the top. I couldn't get used to the other analogs, the right analog stick being at the top. I could not get used to that.
Yeah, I didn't have a Wii U, so I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, no one did.
That was the problem with it.
Pretty much.
Funny how everybody like rags on the Wii U though, but when I see it, I'm like, yeah, I can see where the design for the Switch came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very natural progression if you look at it.
Yeah.
But one was hated and one was not.
Some sad news. The Rocksmith team announced that they are officially done with Rocksmith Remastered DLC.
Rocksmith was remastered?
I mean, that was the name of the game, Rocksmith 2014 Remastered. It's not an actual, like, remaster, that's just the name of the game.
Oh, hi.
Because Rocksmith came out, and then instead of calling it Rocksmith 2, they called it Rocksmith Remastered.
Oh, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, it's just Rocksmith 2014. There is no real remaster.
Oh, well, today I learned.
Yeah. But they have ended DLC. They are hard at work on a new project, and due to this project, DLC for Rocksmith Remastered is officially done. They went out with a bang, though, with an Opeth pack.
I'm not familiar with who that is.
Well, people who play Rock Band and Ghost of Perdition know how crazy Opeth can be. Every song, I think the shortest song in that pack is 9 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Ghost of Perdition is like 10:50 something. What the hell was the other song in there? There's like a 13-minute long song in there. It's nuts. They went out with a bang with Opeth.
Okay, then. So that's nice.
Yeah. And they end with 1,570 songs available in the game.
So if they're not working on that anymore, what could they possibly be working on?
Possibly Rocksmith Remastered 3. Rocksmith 2021.
Fucked up naming right there, and I'm so confused, but okay.
Mafia 2 Definitive Edition and Mafia 3 Definitive Edition have been rated for the Xbox, PlayStation, and PC in Taiwan. Huh. So it looks like Mafia is getting some remasters and re-releases.
Has it not been remastered once?
Mafia 2, no.
Oh, okay.
And then Mafia 3 released on current gen consoles, so I don't know what they plan on doing with that.
Oh. It did, didn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if they're just releasing it as a bundle, like a Game of the Year edition, but it's not maybe. A Game of the Year, so I don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
Just the rumors or reports of games that have been rated. We all know how that shit goes.
Yeah, we all know how that works out.
Yeah. Last bit of news I have is that Google is giving gamers in 14 countries free access to Stadia Pro for 2 months. The rollout started on Wednesday, and anybody who signs up gets 2 free months of Stadia Pro with access to Destiny 2, The Collection, Grid, Guilt, SteamWorld Dig 2, SteamWorld Quest, Hand of Gilgamesh, Serious Sam Collection, Spitlings, Stacks on Stacks on Stacks, and Thumper.
Yes. I have not got to try this out yet, but I did get signed up because I want to play Guilt and I don't care about anything else.
I played a little bit of Grid and I just couldn't handle the input lag.
I'm a little concerned about it. What were you playing on your computer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we all know my computer sucks, but given that it's just streaming through the browser, you know, the performance was great.
Yeah.
Like it looked great. It ran great. It was smooth. It just, the input lag, I couldn't do anything in the game. It was just off enough. It's like playing a game without game mode on your TV.
No.
Yeah. So there's just that little bit of input lag that's enough to completely throw you off. I would imagine in something like SteamWorld Dig and, Thumper, they apparently completely reworked the game to make it easier and more forgiving.
Well, that's plus because the input lag is garbage.
Yeah, I could see it not being a big deal with some games, but in a driving game, oh, it was not working for me. I was not having a good time.
Bad. Okay. Well, hopefully Guilt doesn't suck when I get to try it out.
Yeah. And hey, it's 2 free months.
Yeah. So
props to Google for giving people an excuse to do some more gaming in this time.
Because, you know, stay the fuck home.
Yeah. And listen to us.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, that's the news I got. Anything you want to talk about, or are you ready to dive into reviews?
No, I'm ready to tear through this. Let's go. We're speed running.
You barely. Meow.
Yeah, well, I'm chatty. Meow.
Yeah, I know you're chatty. First game to talk about tonight is called Construction Simulator 3, developed by Weltenbauer, published by Astragon Entertainment, released April 7th on Xbox One and PS4 for $14.99. Construction Simulator 3 returns to Europe. Discover an idyllic European town with officially licensed vehicles from famous brands like Caterpillar, Bobcat, Bell, and more. Take on diverse and challenging contracts, shape the skyline of your city, and expand your vehicle fleet. Discover a completely new map and unlock new contracts and vehicles with your growing company. Cole, tell us about Construction Simulator 3.
So, hooray! Construction Simulator 3 is back in Europe. And also, I don't know why that's exciting because we didn't play Construction Simulator 2. And I don't know why everybody's like, fucking finally, it's back in Europe! And I'm just over here like, okay. We missed 2. So, I remember David played Construction Simulator 1. Well, we didn't have 2, and now we're at 3. And so, I make no promises in comparing between 2 and 3, unfortunately. For 3 and where it is at, I'm struggling with how to describe a construction game because I basically like had my husband telling me what to do the whole time. I realize that I'm pausing a lot and it's because I'm kind of thinking about how I want to word this because I don't want to repeat basically where he was like, okay, now you need to go here and choose this equipment. And I was just lost. The first thing that I want to congratulate them on with Construction Simulator 3 is how many licensing deals they had to make this game happen. I don't know if you remember back, if anybody actually listened to when I reviewed PC Building Simulator, but I was like, how the fuck did this tiny little game get all of these big brand deals? Same thing with Construction Simulator 3. I don't know how they do it. I don't know. Like, there are legitimate brands. Caterpillar is the only one I knew, but there were others, and my husband was like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm like, I have no idea why you're excited, but I'm just going to repeat on the podcast that you were excited. So here we are. He was excited about some of the brands that I couldn't pronounce if my life depended on it. The whole point is basically it's a simulator, okay? It's a micromanager. You start your own little construction company. Sometimes you're repairing roads. Sometimes you're building houses. Sometimes you're building fucking skyscrapers. It's really interesting to see how, like, they scale the different types of construction projects. They give you a lot to play around with. There's tons of different equipment. One of the things that David was rambling in my ear about was how there used to be only like one type of steamroller in the first construction simulator. And apparently now there are three types of steamrollers, and that's a big deal. And I was like, okay, but won't one steamroller be enough? And he's like, no, you need three. And I was like, okay.
Hey, one is never enough.
I will take your word for it. There is this kind of a story mode where they'll give you the game gives you different prompts and quests to do, or you can just go and play by yourself and do whatever the fuck you want. You have a lot of options. It's a simulator, so you have a lot of options for like going in and adjusting how you do or don't play. You can turn on traffic violations, for example, and get pulled over and get tickets if you run red lights and stuff. I like to go in and like set this shit as easy as possible because I am bad. And it's a miracle, like, if I don't run every red light. And I will, because it's just a thing I enjoy doing. I'm like, fuck those stop signs. And, you can also, like, manage how much traffic there is. That's important, because if there's traffic and you're running stop signs, bad things are going to happen to your cement mixers and your semis. And, oh yeah, David said be excited because there was an SUV you could drive now. It wasn't even a work truck. You could just drive an SUV. I don't know why these are big deals, but it was. And he was happy. And I was like, I'm happy for you. Visually, I'm kind of torn on Construction Simulator as to whether or not it's actually a good-looking game or not. In some aspects, I look at it and I go, okay, the textures are a little repetitive and they could be better. The sidewalks particularly grated on my nerves because you could see where like there was one small texture tile and it was just repeated. Mm. And it wasn't seamless. And you're just like, I hate that. And it did kind of like cheapen the game a little bit. The trees very much look copy and paste. The further your draw distance goes out, the more it's just like less and less texture and detail. Which is kind of unfortunate. We've seen some less expensive farming simulator type of games still manage to pull off those longer draw distances and give you a little more visual appeal. And Construction Simulator 3 does still kind of feel like it could have played on a 360. but that's not necessarily something I want to come across as a negative either, though, because it is a $15 game.
Yeah.
And at its price point, with the licensing that it has and the variety of vehicles and equipment and job types that it's given you, I can kind of concede that maybe the textures and the visuals could have been better, but at its price point, I'm not overwhelmingly mad at it. If you enjoy simulator games, if you enjoy construction, if you just like playing with big giant vehicles and running red lights, you're probably going to have a pretty good time with Construction Simulator 3. But it's aimed at a certain type of person, and it's not something that's going to appeal to everybody, if that makes sense. So, it's definitely got its target demographic, but they're going to be very happy with it.
So I'm guessing D was happy with it.
He was overwhelmed. I was like, me and him were fighting back and forth. I was like, it's a good thing I have some Steam reviews this week, because I wasn't going to touch the Xbox.
Well, then Overall, $15 on this one. What does D say?
He says that at $15 is definitely a buy it. You know, yeah, it could have some visual improvements, but for its price point, it's solid. It's good.
Awesome. Sounds good. Yeah.
And I floundered like a fucking fish on that. But that's what you do for love, is that you review games you don't fucking understand.
Yeah.
So that your spouse can enjoy them. But he had such a good time. And like I'm telling you, he was rant. I was trying to make notes based off of what he was saying, but none of it made sense. I was just flailing like a fish out there.
You tried. That's what's important.
I couldn't even, like, I was trying to go through the controls and the tutorial, and I don't know, I set down some kind of legs, and my dozer picked up out of the air, and I was so confused, and I was like, how do I get it down? It was a little traumatic.
You should stream that game.
No, I don't know if my heart can handle it. So the anxiety and the embarrassment of not even like being able to make it through a tutorial phase without begging my husband for help would be too much.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called The Complex, developed by Goodgate Media, Little Jade Productions, and Wales Interactive, published by Wales Interactive, released March 31st on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $12.99. After a major bioweapon attack on London, two scientists find themselves locked down in a laboratory with time and air running out. Make or break relationships to discover one of eight suspenseful endings in this interactive sci-fi thriller movie from Wales Interactive. Cole, how was The Complex?
Fucking incredible. I have been a big fan of Wales Interactive's FMV games since The Shapeshifting Detective. I know I missed a few really good ones before that. I haven't had a chance to go back and pick them back up. I have that on my to-do list. It's just backlogs are bitches. But when The Complex, the moment I started seeing ads for The Complex, I was like, please, 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 please. Because I was super excited for it. Excuse me, I got a dry throat.
Proud of you.
It hit me out of nowhere, too. the premise is that you are a scientist who has created these nanocells, and a group has stolen your nanocells and infected somebody with them. So you are trying to make decisions on how to reacquire those nanocells, how to save face for the company that has been, supporting your work. You're best friends with the head of that company. There's a whole lot of dynamics at play as to who you're going to save or who you might have to sacrifice to accomplish what you need to do. Do you focus more on your friendships? Do you focus more on your research? All of these things lead to different scenarios. The entire game is far more of like an interactive movie. With The Shapeshifting Detective, there was a lot more game mechanic to it. Whereas with The Complex, the story plays out and it just occasionally pauses and gives you an option of, two or three different choices that you can make to branch off to a different path. But it kind of just occurs regardless of whether or not you're involved in it or not. So it's far more of the interactive movie type of FMV as opposed to, just being a game with video sequences. So at times it can kind of feel like you're being set up to make a choice, but then the game goes on without you and you don't actually have a choice at that branch. Mm. And Amy will just do whatever the fuck she's decided. You're just that luck. So it was kind of odd that there would be times where it would kind of like hit a wall in the narrative and you're like, okay, this is obviously leading up to a decision and I need to be paying attention, thinking about where it's going to go, and then it just carries on without you. But then there were other times where the decisions kind of just like hit you out of nowhere and you're like, ah, I wasn't ready to make this choice. And also, I never felt like the choices played out the way that I was expecting them to. Telltale was really bad for that. Where like, you think you're saying, yeah, okay. And then they're like, yeah, okay, you fucking bitch. And you're like, no, I wasn't trying to say that. I wasn't mad. I don't understand. The Complex kind of does that a couple of times as well, where you're like, you choose one option and you think it's going to lead to a series of events. And then it just completely pulls the rug under you, out from under you. And you're like, oh, fuck, I clicked the wrong button now. thankfully, it's got a pretty short runtime. It takes about 90 minutes or so to actually get through an entire playthrough of it. So going back and playing through it again to get to see the alternatives to do things a little differently, it's short. It's not something that's going to, you know, be a slog to get through to in order to see the different endings. One thing that is helpful is that you can pause at any time and you can see Amy's stats on the side of the screen, and it'll show you, you know, are you leading more toward being compassionate or are you more logical? You know, are you aggressive? Are you romantic? Just the certain different, like, options that she can have that fluctuate the story a little bit. So if you see yourself making choices that are leading you back down a path you've already seen, you can kind of keep an eye on that bar and see how your choices are pulling you in a different direction. Mm. Visually, it's incredible. This is the game I was talking about earlier where I said I was playing it extremely high quality and high settings and everything, and my PC was like 5% usage because it really is more like watching a movie and just occasionally clicking on an interactive button.
No.
You know, there might be three and like a timer bar at the bottom. I would recommend your first playthrough though to go into the settings and set it to pause so that you have a little more time to think about your options when they pop up, because there were definitely times where I completely missed a prompt because the bar would empty so fast that I would be like, I didn't realize I had a choice. Hold on. So it would either that needs to be slowed down overall, or you just have to cough up and be like, okay, pause it and let me think about it before I click something.
Yeah.
But that would be the only single-handed complaint that I would have about the game at all, is that sometimes that bar is just a little too fast.
All right, then $13 on it. What do you think?
Absolutely buy it. I think this is one of those where, like, you have to know that you're going into it, that it's less game, more movie, but it's still very much worth your time. I think we're all kind of stuck without being able to, you know, get out and go around and go to movies and things like that, that a game like The Complex is kind of a nice happy medium between being game and being movie, that you're a little more involved and it gives you a little something to do while also watching a movie and get a pretty cool story out of it.
Cool. It reminds me a lot of The Night Shift or The Late Shift. What is it?
See, I missed Late Shift. I haven't played that one yet. It was even on Game Pass, and I missed out on it.
Not play that if it was on Game Pass?
I don't have time, Joe.
Oh, you have time for The Late Shift.
I probably did and just didn't. But yeah, I missed it. I keep like hoping it comes back. The Bunker is another one. That one's Wells Interactive as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've wanted The Bunker ever since I first saw it. I still haven't had a chance to play that one yet.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, but, you know, all things in due time. I will say one word of warning. The whole premise of The Complex revolves around those nanocells and how it's contagious. So if you're particularly sensitive to current events, keep that in mind and maybe wait to pick it up. But if you're, you know, able to separate what's currently going on from a game like that, then you'll be fine.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Horror of the Deep, developed and published by Drunken Apes, released April 3rd on Xbox One for $9.99. Fall into a giant old dungeon, unclear of your destiny. You have to descend deeper and deeper to a place where all screaming will be silenced. Cole, what is Horror of the Deep?
Well, it's a horror game, and it takes place deep in a dungeon, and that's about all the fuck I know, even though I 1K'd it. The game is first person. Everything is fucking pitch black dark. Occasionally you have a little bit of candlelight here and there. On a couple of levels, you eventually pick up a lantern that you can use, but it will run out of the candle melts, I suppose, in it. It doesn't have like a fuel meter or anything, but I suppose the candle just decides to give the fuck up on you, because you do have to find other lanterns and pick them up or roam around in the dark and hope that you don't get beat to death by a monster. I'm going to go ahead and like pull the Band-Aid off with this game and say that it's not the most developed and sound horror game you're going to ever play. It's got quite a few issues. It's got quite a few bugs. It's got quite a few quirks. But if you sit down with it and you kind of like accept that it's just going to be this weird little buggy run through and that it might occasionally freak you out, you might find yourself a little surprised at how much you could enjoy it. Since I mentioned the bugs, I'm going to go ahead and go back to that first, though. When you pause the game, the menu comes up and it says resume and exit. I think it might say settings. But the only thing you control it can control is the audio. It doesn't pause. There was one point where I was playing it. It was very early on. I was playing it late. I paused it because I had to get up and let the cat out. And my headphones were still on, but I wasn't looking at the TV. And all of a sudden, something just yelled at me. And I'm like, I got this fucker paused. And I turn around and look, and the pause menu is there, with just exactly as it was before I stopped. But there's just the chest and like torso area of some kind of weird monster standing in front of me. And I could see the torso and the arms and nothing else of it. And over top of the menu for resume and everything is you're dead. But like it's all jumbled together because it shouldn't be on screen at the same time.
Nice.
It's buggy. I never saw that monster again through the rest of my playthrough. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it came from. I don't know what happened. I was standing at the very beginning of the section. I have no justification for what's going on in this game. None. Don't know how you get in there. Occasionally, there are like clues that you can pick up that give you a story, but it's also vague and cryptic that none of it makes any sense. I'm sure somewhere out there, there's probably some insane Horror of the Deep fan who has set and like figured this shit out. There's probably a wiki for it.
There's a wiki for everything.
There's a wiki for everything. So, I mean, maybe there's a little more to it than I was getting out of it. But I was just trying to take it as like, this is what I have in front of me. This is what I understand about it. And it wasn't shit. I didn't understand shit. I will say there was one really cool level that I ended up on. There were a couple of levels where like I started it and I could tell there were various offshoots of places that you could go. And yet I just walked straight and then it was like, congratulations, you beat the level. Here's the next one. And I was like, how did I beat it when I didn't even go through it? I was just walking to a door. I don't think I even got to the door and like the achievement pops and it's like new level. And I'm like, I don't know what I did. Whatever, free 100-point achievement. there's another level where you can just like jump over a railing and skip the whole level. I did it on accident. I went back and replayed it because I was like, I don't even know what I missed. I was just exploring and I was like, can I jump down there? Fuck yeah, I can. Oh, the level ended. Okay.
Nice.
I don't know. Again, it's where the bugginess kind of comes into play. There was one really super cool level though, where like there was like bloody messages scrawled on the walls and the floor, and they're like, trust me, but don't trust me, and it's like, fear the weak, and it's like, you know, you're like, this is weird. But then you go into this huge room, and there's bookcases, and again, it's all 90% dark, so you have just like your mind fucking with you anyway. And there's this like weak humanoid creature on the ground reaching at you. I don't know. My instinct is like, hey, can I touch it? And I went up to it and I immediately died.
Nice.
And I was like, holy fuck, that was terrible. I don't want to do that again. So then I started to like take the scrawlings on the floor a little more seriously. And it's like, Fear of the Week. And I'm like, well, that bitch is weak and she killed me, so I'm going somewhere else now. So I stayed away from her. But then, like, I ended up in these tiny little corridors, and there's more of these little humanoid things just crawling around on the floor. And if they get close to you, your vision starts to blur and shake, and, like, you're like, holy fuck, I'm gonna die if I don't get away from that. But then you get to another area where it's like, it says on the floor, it says, don't go that way. And you're like, okay, well, it told me to fear the weak and it told me to trust it, and those were true. So I'm not gonna go that way. So I turned around and I went the other way, and I immediately fell into a pit and died. The fucker lied to me. What the hell? Nice. Unreliable narrators. But I had, like, it was probably the longest level of the game. It was a little more of the frustrating one too, because it was kind of labyrinthine and you could get lost really easily. There's not a lot to, like, help you navigate where the fuck you are. Because, again, it's all very dark. But I still, it was, like, the most enjoyable level of the entire game, because it just fucked with you. You never knew if you were doing the right thing or not. And so even though I got frustrated because I, you know, kept getting lost and stuff, I was like, I had, at the end of it, when I finally beat it, I was like, that was fun. That was fucking enjoyable. I wish that I could say that all the other levels were as enjoyable, but I would say play the game just for that one, because it was cool. It was really well done. As far as the rest of the game goes, you're probably going to take more of the approach of, hey, easy achievements.
Which is never bad.
Which isn't bad. And I think that's the reason most people are going to play Horror of the Deep, and that's fine. I do it all the time. I actually wanted it for the horror aspect, and I didn't know that it was easy achievements.
Speaking of the horror, any fear pee?
No fear pee, but that, like I said, there were just a few moments where I was like, I was startled or I was caught off guard. You know, the damn little goblin ghoul girl on the floor killing me just was like, ah! startled the shit out of me. That said, the ending of the game, there is like the final level is like a maze. And as much as I said that I kind of got lost and frustrated with the earlier level, the last one was frustrating to like the point of pulling my hair out, because you have to find keys to get out and they're random. Nah. And so like, I would die and go back and be like, fuck, they're not here. And then for that one, there are actual enemies that you can see that are like lurking around on paths. They don't deviate enough from the path to make it a joyful anxiety kind of experience. So it's more like you're sitting there watching them, waiting for them to go away. And then they do. And then, like, if you do run into them, it's more because you were impatient and you went when you shouldn't have. And so it's more frustrating than, like, startling and fun. So the final level, a little on the weaker side, especially because the one earlier was actually enjoyable. So I was kind of holding it to a pretty high standard, which might have been a little too high for a game that you hit pause and it doesn't pause. But, it all in all, like, I was genuinely surprised, because horror games are cheap and easy to make. I've said it before, but like, you don't need a lot of visual interest because so much of it is in the dark. But I think Horror of the Deep actually does a good job of using the dark to add to its horror experience, as opposed to just being a cover up for not having great textures and visuals.
Well, then overall, $10 on Horror of the Deep. What are you thinking?
I'm gonna give it a buy it strictly on that one level alone. I think that level is worth the $10 on its own, and the rest is just, hey, easy achievements.
Which, again, not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. Not at all. No.
I our easy achievements.
Had more fun with it than I was expecting to.
Which is good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, horror games are cheap and easy, and it takes a lot for me to, like, play a horror game that genuinely shocks me or scares me in some way. So I wasn't going into it expecting that anyway.
No.
But the fact that it did get me a couple of times in that one level, I was like, yeah, kudos. Good job.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called My Friend Pedro, developed by Dead Toast Entertainment, published by Devolver Digital, released April 2nd on the PS4 for $19.99. My Friend Pedro is a violent ballet about friendship, imagination, and one man's struggle to obliterate anyone in his path at the behest of a sentient banana. Our friend Serlina covered this one. This is what she's got to say. Hello, SML friends and fans. This is Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing My Friend Pedro for the PS4. Developed by Dead Toast Entertainment and published by Devolver Digital, My Friend Pedro is a bullet-tastic shoot-em-up where you take control of a nameless mask-wearing protagonist who's urged to commit various acts of violence against those who imprison him by a floating banana that he can only see named Pedro. Let's start with the review. The point of My Friend Pedro is to kill as many baddies as you can as quickly as you can, preferably without dying and with style. There's a score multiplier that decays rapidly after you kill a baddie, so speedy killing is of the essence. In addition to this, if you can beat a level without dying, you get a nice bonus. The game doesn't punish you for dying. You start a few screens before your death, but you could kiss your bonus goodbye. Once you've completed a level, your score is tabulated and you get a letter grade. Truth be told, I didn't manage above a C in most levels, but that's okay. You can easily go back to try and beat your score once you've completed a level for the first time. My Friend Pedro is a 2D side-scroller with 3D models, the protagonist, and all of the baddies are 3D, but the background is 2D with some notable exceptions like stairs. The level design is fairly middling. There really wasn't much to distinguish the levels aside from the theme of the world. For example, when your character wakes up, you're in a basement of a seedy city, so all the levels look like a basement with a few city shots in the far background. All the worlds follow this formula, so once you've completed a few levels, it feels like you're just running around a giant gray circle. I will say that the protagonist, the baddies, and Pedro provide sparks of color, but their designs are kind of boring. They all wear color track suits or white t-shirts with jeans. Some baddie designs variety would have been good for this game. As a side scroller, once you progress past a certain point in the screen, you can't backtrack. Annoying, but I dealt with it. There are three modes of difficulty: normal, hard, and bananas. Haha, because there's a banana in the game. I stuck with normal, which has some health regen. At bananas, there is no health regen. The enemies are faster, more accurate, and have a bigger health pool. Since I like myself, I decided that wasn't best for me.
Same.
The abilities you have access to are insane. You start off with a 9mm with unlimited ammo, which is awesome. Then you dual wield it with unlimited ammo, and this becomes your standard equipment. You can collect other weapons as well, which you can keep them for as long as you have ammo. I was able to dual wield Uzis, which is nice for the spray and pray, but they aren't as accurate as the 9mm. Also, you're able to lock on separate targets with your dual wielding, meaning you can shoot someone who's in front of you and behind you at the same time. You can jump and then wall jump. You have a very stylish dodge and roll mechanic. You can hide behind boxes for cover, and you could slow time down to get the jump on some enemies for more style points. I love that mechanic so much, and it makes for some great shots of your character being a total badass by jumping in and killing everyone in slow-mo. Having said all this, the controls are absolutely bananas, but not in the way you think. You want to do all the badass stuff, but it's quite hard to do with the PS4 controller, so expect to get hit many times until you learn the mechanics. I suspect that once you do, you'll be getting that coveted S score in no time. You can make your character do some pretty hilarious movements. I swear to you, I was on a rope doing some awesome gunplay shooting, and when it was all done, I'm swinging back and forth, singing, "I want to swing on a chandelier." That is surprisingly graceful. My Friend Pedro is available on the PS4 for $19.99, and should you buy it, I think it's a game you should play, but I need to preface this by saying it is not my kind of game. This is a speedrunner's wet dream, and you have to be precise and patient to get the most out of the game. If that's you, then definitely pick this up. If you aren't sure, then try it, but I think you'll still get a lot of enjoyment out of the game. You played that one, didn't you?
I did. I played it on Xbox. I played it on bitch mode, and I made no effort to get any kind of high score. I just wanted to experience it, and I was very, very happy.
Nice. So yeah. It sounds like everyone... I enjoyed the game as well. It's just batshit crazy.
It is. My only complaint was that the last level was kind of weirdly out of place with a whole bunch of, like, laser obstacles and stuff, that given how much the build-up to that was, like, shoot people in weird ways and go fast. And then the last level was like, slow the fuck down and don't get hit with a laser. And you're like, why? Where did this come from?
Yeah.
That was my only complaint with the game, was I really hated that last level. But before that and the whole narrative itself, I was really into it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. It's Devolver does some cool shit. It's nice to see them bringing more stuff to Xbox too. I know next week on the show, we're going to be talking about Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that one. Anyway, next game to talk about tonight is called Glaive Brick Breaker, developed and published by Blue Sunset Games. It released April 8th on the Xbox One for $9.99. Rockets, explosions, neons, blasters. Glaive Brick Breaker is a classic and popular Arkanoid-type game with beautiful 3D graphics, many power-ups, tons of different stages, and dynamic gameplay. Cole, how is Glaive?
So, when I first started playing Glaive, I immediately went to the classic arcade mode. Because what you want to do when you play a brick breaker is break bricks.
Yeah.
So it seemed natural to be like, classic mode, that's where it's at, that's what I want, and I am content. And I played 90 levels of classic mode, and I was like, yeah, pretty content. There's over 120. There's achievements for every 30. So I was like, I could essentially just keep breaking these bricks forever. Occasionally, classic mode does throw in some switch ups, where you'll play Pong style and you have a paddle at the top and at the bottom, and then you have the bricks in the middle. Although I will say, part of me was like, oh good, Pong style. It breaks up the monotony of classic mode. But I actually found that I enjoyed those levels less because they were more limiting than I was expecting. The two paddles move at exactly the same time. They're locked into each other, so you can't break them apart in any way. I was super disappointed by that when I would have like a multi-ball.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I can break the paddles apart, hit them multi-balls, that's going to be awesome. And then you can't. They're just stuck together. And on the same rails. So that was a no-go. Additionally, power-ups. You get plenty of power-ups in classic mode. It just regurgitates them everywhere all the time. But they only affect your bottom paddle to an extent. If you get the like sticky paddle, the bottom paddle gets the sticky, the top one gets the sticky. Does it though? Now I don't remember. Now that I've said it, I'm like, fuck, does it get sticky?
I don't remember. I didn't really enjoy the Pong stages too much. I tried to just get through those as quick as I could.
Shit, I know there were certain power-ups where it affected the bottom but not the top, and now I can't remember if the sticky was actually one of them. I wrote it down, but that doesn't mean shit, because I write it down a lot. None of it matters. Anyway, some of them affect the top, but the majority of them only affect the bottom, and that's problematic. Because you get into a mindset of like, okay, I have this power up, but then the ball goes up and you have to block it with the top paddle and it doesn't have the power up, and then you end up fucking up. That said, lives drop like candy, and there were times where I often would finish a level with like 5 to 8, sometimes even 10 lives. And I was just like, it did not matter that I fucked up 900 times because I still had 100 lives to go. So at least it's very forgiving in that regard. But yeah, the Pong levels are by far the weakest ones. Besides that, in classic mode, my biggest gripe is that they did a really good job of breaking the levels up and giving them different enough designs that you didn't feel like you were constantly doing the same thing over and over, even though you were. But some of them were kind of poorly thought out. There was one level in particular where I was purposely dying so that I could start over, because I would always end up with one block in the same corner, and there was I spent 45 minutes on the level, dying and starting over, dying and starting over, because no matter what I did, the ball would not go in that corner.
Yeah, that is my biggest, I don't want to say deal breaker with this game, but my biggest gripe with this game is after so long, I've played Arkanoid style games where after you're on a certain level for so long, the AI will change in how the ball bounces so that it kind of homes in on the remaining bricks. Because when there's just one brick left and you're just aimlessly bouncing it around for 10 minutes, that's not fun.
No.
That takes the fun out of the game. When the AI of the ball changes and it'll start homing in on those leftover bricks, and not like, you know, you hit it straight up and then it curves, but just the programming and how the ball bounces, it kinda zeroes like how in on them more.
It stops it from just bouncing up and down in one spot, you know, endlessly. It'll eventually kind of lean one way or another.
Yeah.
Glaive has no hesitation about letting that shit bounce for days.
Yeah, and it's not so bad, but there was one where there were indestructible blocks below the one brick I needed to destroy, and it took me 15 minutes before I finally hit the brick, and it was one of those bricks that you have to hit three times.
Yep, it's incredibly frustrating when that happens.
I wanted to cry when I hit that brick and it didn't disappear.
And then there are, like, there's power-ups, like the rockets and stuff that you mentioned, or even just, like, just hitting surfaces will build up, like, a super ball. And the super ball, there were times where I was like, look, I'm going to hit the super ball while I'm literally within centimeters of the final brick. And then it would just veer off completely to the other side of the board and get nowhere close to the one I needed it to hit for the entire duration. Mm-hmm. And I could do that for five or six Super Balls in a row and still not hit the one brick.
Yeah.
That drains your enjoyment of a game really fast. Yeah. Especially when you've already chugged away at like 90 some odd levels. You're just like, this is absurd and I am not happy.
Yeah, either implement some kind of programming that the ball will react smartly when there's only one or two bricks left, or put a timer on the screen where after like a minute, the bricks just explode and you move on to the next stage. Because it's not fun to just be stuck trying to hit one brick for 10, 15 minutes and it's just bouncing everywhere but where that brick is.
One thing I would appreciate too, you said that you hit a brick and then you realized it was one that you have to hit multiple times. It would be nice if there was either some kind of color indicator or number indicator, something to let you know how many more times you need to hit a specific brick.
Yeah, like show cracks on there or something to show that it's getting broken down.
Because otherwise you're just like, you can't tell the difference between the ones that are indestructible and the ones that just need a beating first.
Yeah. And so, then there some stages, there's just way too many invincible blocks.
Oh, yeah. Way. There are times where, like, you have just a sliver that might be 2 or 3 centimeters just to get the ball. It's just wide enough for the ball. And you're like, okay, but then how do I make it go left or right once it gets up there? Otherwise, it's just going back and forth between the paddle and the wall. And you're like, okay, eventually it might veer one way or another. But otherwise, you just have to sit there and like ping pong it up and back and forth until it goes.
No.
And good luck if you get that shit stuck during a Super Bowl and it won't go back up. You just wasted it. It can be a little frustrating in just how peculiar some of the levels are laid out. I think that's just the nature of they had to come up with 120 some odd designs.
No.
But a little more leeway or at least smarter AI could really help.
Yeah. But overall, $10, what do you think of Glaive?
I still had a lot of fun with it. I've still been working on getting the completion in it. Probably going to work on getting the completion in it later tonight after we do this. So I still think it's justifiable as a buy it. There's plenty of content there to justify it. It's just, it's hard. A lot harder than you would think a Brick Breaker game would be. So at least know that going into it.
Yeah, I can agree with a buy it. $10 is not a bad price. There's a lot of gameplay there. They just need to rework the AI on that ball to make some of those stages more bearable when you're down to your last couple.
We want an easy mode.
Not necessarily an easy mode, because, you know, it takes a lot of work to get down to one brick left. But, you know, when you can't get that one brick to get destroyed after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just
no, I was literally like 45 minutes at one point.
Yeah.
So
like, just fucking let us move on to the next stage. Give us an out.
Yeah.
Final game to talk about tonight is called Null Drifter, developed by Panda Indie Studio and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released April 8th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $4.99. Experience simple yet nostalgic presentation while shooting and dashing through single-screen bullet hell action. Test your skills in a series of gradually evolving challenges and aim for the high score in the worldwide online leaderboards. Collect coins and purchase permanent upgrades that will help you on your journey. Cole, tell us about Null Drifter.
So East Asia Soft has taken the Radaleka approach to game releases. They're weekly. They're cheap. But they're also indie games that, under a lot of circumstances, probably would have only made it to the Creator's Collection and not out of that. So at least their weekly gamer score rush gets the game in front of some more eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Null Drifter is one of those games that you probably would have seen on the Creator's Collection and might have thrown 50 cents at, but wouldn't have thought to play it whole hog. So it's nice to see it get a full release, because as a bullet hell, you know, type of shmup, it's not a bad game. It's surprisingly really hard. And even though it's super simple, you know, it's twin stick style shooting, but you do have a dash button. Dash killing enemies is probably a million times more effective than actually shooting them, because if you shoot them, you're going to take a while. But if you dash them, you just got to smash them once and you're done. And you're like, get on out of here and give me some money while you go. getting the money while they go is super important, because you're going to need to do some upgrades if you're going to get anywhere in the game at all. But I will say, once you have those upgrades and you start getting power-ups and stuff dropping, you're gonna blow through the game in like 20 to 30 minutes. If you're good at shmups and bullet hells at all, even just like a tiny bit, you're gonna learn how to play Null Drifter really quickly. You're gonna be able to buy the power-ups that you need pretty fast, and then you're gonna just be a ridiculous force of nature and roll through it. The game visually is very simple. Black and white, outline of a spaceship. Sometimes there's some jumbled, garbled pixel mess that's supposed to be asteroids. Sometimes there are enemies. Sometimes they are all entirely random. You don't ever know what you're gonna get or when. They're more difficult the later they appear, but it's because it's just wave-based. But it's not set to a story or anything. It does, like, once you beat the first wave, give you an introduction, and it gives your pilot a name. And I noticed that every one of my pilots had a female name. So shout out to that. That was pretty cool. You don't ever see them, but at least they got female names. I was like, that's a nice touch. I'm cool with that. When you play a lot, you will eventually unlock different color palettes. And that might be the most relieving thing about Null Drifter. The black on white is, or the white on black is extremely stark. And there is a whole lot of flashing. You can turn it down. I fucking turned it off. I turned off all the special visual effects, because leaving that shit on, I don't know how anybody could play the game like that. I wanted to have a seizure just looking at the menu. But turning all that down, turning it all off, makes the game far more playable, far more enjoyable. I'm the person who turns off CRT and scan lines in games. Film, even film grain. I went into Call of Duty and was like, who the fuck put film grain in Call of Duty? So turn that shit off. I don't got time for that. If I wanted to see graininess, I go play on 360. we're on the Xbox One now. Get it straight. We want clear pictures. So I cut that shit off and it made it far more enjoyable. But it was still really hard until I unlocked a salmon color palette, which was like a soft corally peachy pink color on a navy background. I don't know why, but I found that to be the most tolerable color palette. And
I didn't really have a problem with the white on black, and then the green on black worked for me as well.
I was struggling, like I was playing it like that, and I was getting to like level two or wave two, wave three, and then just dying to dumb shit and getting really annoyed. And then I switched to the salmon-y color palette, and I bought, I think, two upgrades that were stupid cheap because it was all the money I had because I kept dying really early. And I made it to wave 12.
Damn.
The achievements stop at 6, and I just kept going because I was doing well. And I was like, fuck it. And then what happened, my only gripe with the game, beyond the scanline shit, the flashiness, but something happened and like I got kicked back to the menu and I lost all my money and it didn't save my progress to the leaderboard.
Oh no.
And I don't know why. I don't know what happened. There was no error, nothing popped up. I was just on the menu and I was like, wait a second, but I was kicking everything's ass.
Oh man.
And now I'm not. And I was so sad. And then I was like, well, I don't care because I have every achievement except for the one for playing 10 times. So I guess I'll knock out this achievement and go to bed because it's 4 a.m.
That works.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those games. I really have spent more time talking about this game than it took me to actually play through it. And that's okay. Sometimes you just need that like little in-between pick-me-up game to blow through, have a good time with, and then be like, cool, thanks, and you uninstall it. And, you know, Null Drifter seems like it's one of those games that's perfectly okay being that. If you need a late night, mindless, shoot things, dodge shit, smash shit, you only use three buttons and a quarter of your brain kind of game, Null Drifter's there for you. And it's good at it.
Well, then $5, what do you say?
You know, in a lot of situations, I'd be like, fuck it, why not? But I actually had enough fun with it that I could see myself picking it up late one night and playing it again just to see if I could get back to where I was to get my leaderboard spot. So yeah, I'm okay with a buy it here. Play it, you know, take into consideration that you're going to have to turn off a lot of the visual stuff because it's very, very visually heavy and might have problems with the flashing and all that, the scan lines. But once you turn all that off, it's a pretty good game. It's a little $5, you know, shoot shit and be happy.
Yeah, and it's an easy completion. So yeah, people will look for it. I think I got, 19 minutes, I told you?
I think
I got
you my said thousand. 19 minutes. Yeah, I don't even know. I wasn't timing. Like I said, it was like 4 in the morning, and I was like, I'm going to see how fast I can do this.
Yeah, and I wasn't even trying for the completion. I was playing through it, and I got the last achievement for playing it 10 times. And
yeah.
I was like, wow, I didn't expect to get 1,000 that quickly, but I had fun doing it and I kept playing it. And I think my best was like the 7th level.
Really?
Yeah.
Weakling.
I know. I know. I suck.
It's okay. We all have skills. Some of us, our skill is sucking.
True. And East Asia Soft, if you're listening, one of these days, I really want Rainbow Skies or Rainbow Moon to come to Xbox.
Yeah.
Some good tactical RPG action. I would love to see those hit Xbox. So
keep begging.
I will.
Go on Twitter and beg them.
I'll just bug Nils and be like, come on, Nils. Come on. Just tell the rest of East Asia Soft. Come on. Just give us Rainbow Skies. Rainbow please. Moon. Please. Pretty please. I promise I'll buy it. But yeah, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one.
We did it.
Not as quick as I thought we would be, but
not whatever. As bad as we could have been either.
True. We could have spent so much more time talking.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're going to wrap this up. Got some music to play. Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing at all?
None at all.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. Good night.